Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices. All in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5. Then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Astros Baseball Podcast. I am your host for the day. They let the personality hire take the reins again. Why they would do that, questionable at best. But we also have Wally and Ryan with us today. How are you guys doing?
Good. There for a while, it looked like we weren't going to be good. But yeah. The White Sox showed us why they are so bad.
Oh, man.
That is a dreadful team.
Over and over again. Yeah, they prove that that's why they are. It's good to be back on with you guys. It's been a little while since I've hopped on again. So it's good to be seen.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to have you guys. Obviously, y'all just jump right into it every time. I'm just trying to find out how your day's going. And we go straight into baseball, which I mean, I'm not mad at it, you know?
Yeah. Well, that is the reason we are here, right?
That's right.
Hey, it's the reason we're here, but we're people too, Wally. Come on.
Yeah, it's true. We care about our peeps.
Like, how was your week? What did you do this week? I want to know. The people want to know.
Well, I got wet yesterday.
Yeah, that's insane.
Did you get some rain? Yeah.
Yeah, we got about 1.25 inches down the house.
Oh, wow. Man. Yeah, that's a lot.
We didn't get a whole lot up here on the north side.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's... not a ton, shrinking. Just kind of on and off 3 or 4 different times, a nice steady downpour for 15, 20, 30 minutes. I guess last night we had 2 or 3 hours of just a steady downpour, but nothing really brutal up here.
Well, no, It really wasn't bad here. We had a few gusts from the outer bands of that storm, but when you've been through one where the winds top out at 200, this is nothing.
Yeah, that's true. I had to drive through the rain with my brother in tow because we were coming back from Corpus yesterday. So literally just 3 hours of straight rain while we were driving. Ooh. But made it through, made it safe. So all is well that ends well, you know, can't complain about
that's that. True. And you got to spend Father's Day with your daddy.
I did, which was actually, that's I didn't great. Get there until Monday. So missed him by one day, but we got there.
That's the whole idea, is just the spirit was there.
Exactly. Close enough. But yeah, you guys, y'all were already ready to talk baseball. So let's get into it. Astros versus White Sox. Obviously, a series that we were hoping to sweep. 1-2 out of 3. First game with Framber Valdez. I mean, the walks really just bit him in the ass on this one. Obviously, Cannon was just on his A game, you know, when he got into trouble, got people out. And you know, the White Sox, they made it a great game for the White Sox. But, you know, having 7 hits and having nothing to show for it, never a good feeling. But then we moved on to Wednesday's game, Astros winning 4-1. Hunter Brown, impressive day for Hunter Brown. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where you definitely hope to see that kind of performance from him, and we're seeing it more often. He's becoming a lot more consistent. You know, the guys did their job getting runs in. I think we could have scored a lot more, but hey, we'll take it. And then obviously today's game with the day game, happy flight out of Chicago, winning 5-3. So what were your takes on this series against the White Sox? Ryan, I'll let you go first.
Man, you know, I think one of the things that we all went into this thinking was this could be a confidence booster. Yeah, they're the last place team, worst team in baseball. But man, that first game after Framber just kind of did some Framber stuff and the offense didn't show up. I think a bunch of us kind of clinched a little bit and were a little concerned and a little upset that this team was just not ready to play the rest of the season the way that we, you know, were hoping to. The next two games, you know, they played a lot better. Today's game, coming back from behind, really felt great. It looked great. You know, we'll get into who some of the standout players were over the series. But, you know, missing Jordan and Tucker was a big deal for those first two games, I think, really, even though it's the worst team in baseball that you're playing against. Just this team has just been struggling through the injuries, and you can't ignore the fact that that has got to have a bearing on just their heart and just the way that they're playing and their confidence level and going out there, professional baseball players, but they're still people, and knowing that they're just not the same team that they thought they were going to be. And the way that this team was constructed to go out there and play and win, it's got to have an effect on them. And I think that it's apparent in the way that they play certain games. That first game was one for me.
You know, this series ran the entirety of the emotions. You see the reasons why the Astros can win 70 games, and you saw the reasons why the Astros could win 90 games. They, you know, the first game you had, we always talk about, are we going to get good Fromber or bad Fromber? Well, in the first game, we got both. You know, you know, the walks.
The truth. Oh my God.
We talk about the walks, and you know, we've talked on some of the pods with the Astros don't work walks, but you saw what happens when Fromber gives, when other teams give up walks. Three walks, and then you get a bouncing ball that scores a run. The White Sox scored two runs. Neither of them scored on a hit. Okay. You know, Cannon was good. And he's, you know, he's a new pitcher in the league. The Astros don't have a book on him. And you see this happen so many times when a pitcher is new into the league, he'll have that advantage no matter how young they are a lot of times, unless they just throw meat. You know, the second game, yeah, they won 5-3. Nice way to come back. Brown is going from the point where you're thinking he might do pretty well to where you're starting to expect him to do well. There was a reel that I think I shared with you, Ryan, where he's tunneling his two seamer and his knuckle curve directly out of the same pipe.
Four seamer.
Is a four seamer.
Yeah.
That was his four.
Yeah.
But the two seamers where he was, the two seamers, right, what's made him. He's gotten where he can throw two fastballs, one that runs, one that rides. And then he's got the knuckle curve off of it, and he throws a changeup from time to time too. And they're all coming out of the same tunnel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, today's game, Arrigetti, you know, kind of threw one of those games where he looked like a rookie. You know, he didn't really have it. He didn't blow us out. Espada got him out at the right time. And then you saw in the seventh inning why the White Sox are so, so bad. They should have won that game 2-1. Okay. But I mean, little things like when the third baseman gets that big Baltimore chop and wants to throw to first base, I don't know if you realize, you saw it when the replay, he had it in his palm. So he threw a changeup to first base, and Vaughn was trying to stretch, and he's in, yep, stretching, anticipating a fastball. He gets a changeup, so he's all stretched out. By the time the ball comes, it's not on track. And so he goes, you know, Dr. Strangelove on it.
Yep.
Yeah.
But give the Astros credit. When the White Sox gave him a chance to take it, they took it. Now, one thing you also saw in this game is the Yiner is the perfect example. They are so bad at controlling the strike zone this year. You know, just they're on a pace to walk 100 times less than last year.
Yeah, you really don't see him taking a lot of walks this year. It's been a little bit frustrating because you wish that there was a little bit more of that plate discipline and getting guys on base so that then when you have that big hit, you have more runners that are going to be coming in. So I think that's been something that I feel like I've noticed this season too, just, you know, that plate discipline just isn't there like it used to be. And really quick, you guys, we have tons of comments in the chat. So long time no see from Brian.
Brian, hey, Brian. Good to see. Yeah, it's not that long. I saw you at the game the other night, Brian. Nice. Brian and I met at the baseball game.
Oh, that's awesome.
He said something about that. Yeah. Yep.
Love it. And then Juan, Ryan, Walt, my brothers, how's it going? Juan wants to know how you guys are doing. See, I told you, people care.
We do. Juan, how is it?
And then we also have Captain Stu. What's up, Ryan? Juan, love to see content like this. Super cool. Thank you so much, Captain Stu.
Yeah, thanks.
Then Juan said, have you all seen the Graveman video? And if yes, do you all think that he comes back and pitches for the Astros this season? Have you guys seen that video?
I've seen that it was there. I didn't see what it was done. Graveman has a shoulder. You know, elbows, they've kind of got figured out on what to do with elbows. But man, shoulders are still a black box. You know, the rotator cuff, they kind of know. But shoulders are still real, real iffy. You know, I would say if he comes back, he's found money.
Yeah, I've not seen the video. I've seen rumors of it, and like Walt said, who really knows?
Exactly.
Shoulders are tough. Mm-hmm. All I know is that, at least from the standpoint of what the team has told us, they're not expecting him to come back this year. So,
yeah what I heard at the beginning of the year is he was gone
for the year.
He gone.
Yeah.
Yep.
He gone.
Yap Jenkins said, LOL, Juan. So that's apparently Yap Jenkins' response to that. And Juan said, what up to Stu? We love the comments. Thank you, guys. Keep them coming in. Obviously excited to see you chatting in there. My thoughts on the series on Tuesday. So I was actually back home for kind of a sad reason. I was back home for a funeral for my aunt. And then I get a text message from my friend who works for the White Sox saying, thanks for the win. We needed that. And I said, sir, I am in mourning. How dare you do this to me right now? I needed one good thing today.
They threw dirt all over you.
I was like, I'm in mourning, so, and this is how you treat me. Oh, he didn't know. So I mean, he had no idea, but it was hilarious. I was like, how dare you do this to me on the day of my aunt's funeral, like on the day of my dog's quinceañera, you know, whatever.
And condolences to you. Truly condolences to you about your aunt. I knew y'all were real close.
Thank you so
much. And so that's, you know, that's sad, and just, you know, prayers are with you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It was a crazy week. And I was like, man, all I need is an Astros win. And my family, we had the whole family watching the game together. It's the first time we've done that in a very long time because my brother doesn't come to town all that often during baseball season. So it was cool to have the family watching the game, even though it ended up making me sad. I think Wednesday's game, obviously great game, great seeing the guys come out, get the bats going a little bit, get just a ton of hits. I mean, that was amazing. Again, watching Brown kind of coming into his own finally, I think that that's huge. I think that's exciting to see, and definitely hoping we get more of that from Hunter Brown. I think he was a little bit more inconsistent in the very beginning. So the fact that he's kind of settling in and finally getting on a roll and looking like just a better pitcher these past few outings has been incredible to see. And then today's game, like Wally said, that come from behind win, that's got to give you a lot of confidence. That's got to get you excited. And, you know, obviously happy plane ride for the end of the day. So
definitely
always a good thing. Hopefully it keeps it going and keeps that momentum rolling for the next one. But we have another comment from Juan. He said that by the end of July that he will finish his throwing program and then hopefully go out on a rehab assignment.
Maybe interesting. Okay. You know, Steph, one thing backing up on the 5-3 game, you know, one part is says Hunter Brown was so good, but they beat a legitimate stud pitcher in Garrett Crochet. Crochet's been good.
Absolutely.
And that's the thing you worry about when you have Cannon come out and throw a gem that you didn't expect. You come out Crochet, he could do the same thing. And then you're looking down the pipe of the sweep against not just the worst team in baseball, the by far the worst team in baseball. They're awful.
Yeah, they are having a rough go of it this year. I feel bad for them. I feel bad for my friend who works for them because I'm like, that's his favorite team and I know how much he loves them. So having to sell that team has got to be pretty tough. Very 2013 Astros, and I know that feeling all too well. So especially too when you like love your team so much and they're just really not helping you out. It's tough. So it was awesome getting that win obviously yesterday and making it huge there. Let's see here. We have another one from Juan. Thoughts and prayers going out to you and your family. Thank you so much, Juan. I appreciate you. Brian said, so I heard Espada talked about passing the baton to the next batter. My only question is, why aren't we doing that on a consistent basis?
Ryan, you want to start with that? I've got some real opinions on that.
Go ahead.
You always really so quiet.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, passing the baton
is we're going to light a fire, man.
Brian hit the spark of what's really caused us issues with this season. Okay. Brian, you asked absolutely the right question. Because what that leads to is controlling the strike zone. Walks, controlling the strike zone is like body punches to a boxer. You run that pitch count up to a pitcher. He gets tired. He drops his elbow. He throws a hanging curveball. It gets knocked into next week. And then, you know, now what's happening with the Astros, I've been keeping track of some of the pitch counts that they see every game. They're seeing around 120 pitches a game. They should be, if they're controlling the strike zone, making these guys throw strikes, swinging at strikes, and swinging at the strikes that they want to swing at. And those two are similar but very different things. That they can get run the pitch count up and see 160, 165 pitches a game. Okay, you know, for people who are listening, if you want to just kind of look at that and see what's going on in the game and wonder why the Astros aren't scoring, that's a real good place to start. I mean, we said it once earlier, it bears repeating. You know, this series, they walked 8 times. Okay, you spin that to the other side. When you hear a pitcher say, "I'm walking," 2.6 batters per inning. You'll say, yep, that's really good. On the other side, if you're the hitting team, that's really bad.
Yep. Yeah, you know, it almost seems to be a philosophical change, or at least this season started with a philosophical change in this team. There was a lot of these guys were going out there and really attacking the ball. Altuve's always been an attacker, right? He's always been a guy, his first pitch, second pitch. He's always been a guy to attack. He's never really been known for taking pitches deep, even though he has a tendency to do that if he fouls off the first pitch or two and goes ahead and decides to get into the count. But guys like Bregman, Yordan, Tucker, even some of the guys lower in the lineup, Jake Myers takes a ton of pitches, at least lately, last, 2 or 3 months, he takes a lot of pitches. It seems as though there's almost been a philosophical change of attack, right? Try to get on the ball, try to get a hit, right? It almost seems as though they're pressing, trying to make something happen. And by doing that, they're in attack mode, they're in swing mode, they're trying to make something happen versus working the counts, playing the philosophy of what you just laid out in, let's wear this guy down over 3 or 4 innings, and then we go at it, and then we attack. This team over the last, many years, actually, were known for coming into the games late and scoring a lot of runs late in the game, and it's because of this philosophy of we're going to wear the earlier in the game. And later in the game, like you just said, Wally, that elbow starts to drop. That rotation starts to slow down by 200, 300 RPMs. You get into a bullpen that's tired after the second or third game of a series. And this team was known for coming and crushing you 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th inning. They're not doing that now. And I think it's because they've been pressing. They're trying to score runs instead of taking pitches and getting to the starter early, pitch count wise.
No, you're absolutely right. Beat up the starter, wear the starter out, beat the daylights out of the bullpen, score 5 runs from the 6th inning on.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree with basically everything you guys said. I mean, not much else to say after that. But yeah, it'd be great if they had a little bit, like I said, more of that plate discipline, watch a few more pitches, you know, get those walks up, because it really just doesn't feel like we've been doing that lately. And again, you know, pass that baton to the next guy and know that he's going to have your back and that, you know, you can wear those guys down to have a better chance, because then the bullpen's exhausted and then better chance the next day and the day after that. So yeah, definitely. Some interesting takes there, but all very valid. So, and then Yap Jenkins says, I miss Dusty. Don't y'all.
If you don't know Yap, that comment does not surprise me one bit.
I don't know Yap, but now I do. Hi, Yap. Let's be friends. I'm like, you know, I miss Dusty in certain ways. I don't miss him in other ways. Obviously, he just had a really great presence with the team. But I will say, I definitely feel like he was, you know, he didn't really stand up to umpires. You know, it was pretty rare that he got, you know, ejected out of a game. I think we've seen Espada get ejected a few times. Obviously, saved Jose's ass the other day to make sure Jose didn't get in trouble, which, man, I don't think I've ever seen Jose that heated in my life. But so little things like that, like, you know, I don't miss Dusty for that reason, but I just loved his presence and just him as a dude. So, you know, miss him in some ways, don't miss him in others, you know.
I think Dusty was just kind of done. He's 75 years old. I mean, it's give him
I think
grace.
We saw that. I think we saw that last year in a lot of the decisions that he made as well. There didn't seem to be a whole lot of thought or strategy behind some of the things that he did. And it almost seemed as though he was just going to kind of ride, you know, the autopilot out of town almost. Not that he didn't come, a game from going to the World Series again with this team. But I think you're right. I think he was just kind of, he just tapped out, gassed out, ready to be done.
You know, I get
it. Very true. Also, Brian, much appreciated for the condolences. Thank you so much. And then Captain Stu, Joey pulled out of the Space Cowboys game in the sixth inning tonight. Decent possibility he joins the Astros tomorrow.
Probably more than just decent. I mean, Dana said he's coming back, and today or tomorrow was his last day of ineligibility. So
yeah,
it's likely they just played him half a game so that they could bring him up.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, yeah. Hummel's out there, but you can look at Hummel just the way he went after that foul ball and caught it. I mean, he did his best imitation of Lonnie Smith, who they used to call skates. You know what I'm talking about, Brian?
Yes. Yep.
Lonnie Smith played outfield for the Cardinals, and he was really fast, but he is not a great outfielder. And he called him skates because it looked like whenever he caught a foul ball, he was about to fall down.
Yep.
That's amazing. I love that. So now let's move on to our Ram Shirts player of the series. We're going to do pitcher, position player, and then our Coach Rose. So, you know, Ryan, I'll let you go first on this one.
Oh, man, I was thinking about this one, and I was having a really hard time. But I'm going to go back to yesterday's game, and I'm going to give player of the series award to none other than Big Bowl Caesar Salad, because he showed up big yesterday when the Astros needed him to show up big after Caratini left the game. And I appreciate the fact that that dude was a taxi squad guy, moved on to the roster, full blown when Tucker went, and he came in and he did what a freaking bench guy is supposed to do. And it was so great to see not just him get behind the plate and be able to manage the rest of that game in gear, but to show up with the bat and to really contribute to that game and the win. So I am going to give, as position player of the game, Ram T-shirt to Cesar Salazar.
I love it. What about you, Wally? Who is your position player of the series?
Well, I've got two of them.
Wally,
of course you do.
No, you only get one, Wally. Right, there's a Coach Rose, too. You can use the other one for Coach Rose.
Then the player of the series is Willie Mays.
Oh.
Willie Mays, you know, rest in peace, he was fairly late in his career when I started to watch, you know, really knew what baseball is like, mid-late 60s. Mm. But you look at a guy who you get a good read of the person's character after he's gone, and people just come out of the woodwork and say how many wonderful things. Chris Spire, there's a great story that they said on MLB radio today, or Chris Spire, who was an infielder, kind of a, and he was a coach for the Astros, was a rookie, and Willie, they were in New York, and Willie gave Spire a phone call and said, meet me down in the lobby. And this is 71. It's Willie's last year with the last full year with the Giants, and they won the pennant that year. Spire took him down to this one place, and they said, make sure this guy's outfitted with all the clothes he needs. And so he, whenever he was in New York, he never had to buy any more clothes because Willie is taking care of it. But wow. There's so many good Willie Mays stories. We don't need to get it now, but go if you want to have a great story, listen to Willie Mays talking about it when he beat Satchel Paige for the first time. I've told it before on the pod. It's hilarious. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
it's absolutely hilarious. My player of the game, though, is Bregman. He said 19 of his last 20, 13 for 6 in the series, 462 average. No extra bases, but he was always on base, and he's the guy who was there for the baton. You know, he was passing the baton to people. Yeah, you know, and you do have to give the Astros credit for winning the series, even though the White Sox are terrible. There weren't a lot of guys to pass the baton to.
Yep.
True. Yeah, I am also going to go with Bregman. That's definitely who I saw. His consistency is just finally getting there. The bat is finally getting going. Obviously, you're seeing him on base a lot more. Like you said, he's passing the baton to that next guy. And I love seeing Bregman playing the way we like to see him play. The Bregman we know and love is showing glimpses of being back, and I hope he's back for good. So definitely also giving it to Alex Bregman. And we have Juan with Salazar, left-handed version of Tony Eusebio, a little to no pop, but makes contact up the middle.
Oh, yeah, but you know the difference between Eusebio and Salazar is?
Belt size.
Well, that. And also, if they had a race around the bases, Salazar would be around three times before Eusebio
lap him once. He wasn't called Fat Tony for no reason.
He and Bochy are the two slowest players I've ever seen. We're at a game one time. Bochy had a four hopper deep into the hole. I mean, yeah, he's safe. And Bochy's, you know, you could see Bochy's doing the best he could. Bochy got thrown up by four. He made Martin Maldonado look like Jesse Owens.
Oh man. Oh, that's amazing.
Bochy's so slow.
I love it. Okay, so let's move on to our pitcher of the series. Wally, I'll let you go first on this one. Who do you got for pitcher of the series?
Hunter. Hunter's nails. I'd like to give it to Taylor Scott because and actually the whole bullpen. I mean, Hunter's had such great numbers, but the whole bullpen was just as good. 9 2/3 innings, 2 hits, 127 pitches, 87 strikes, 0.00 ERA. And I think this is the most impressive number, 0.41 whip. That's pretty strong. Mm-hmm. You know, so we don't give it to position groups, but they were really good. But Hunter Brown's coming out like he says, give me the ball. He's kind of coming out like we would hope Fromber would.
You know, I think they were talking about it on the broadcast, is he's kind of got that Garrett Cole attitude when he's out there. Like, he's almost out there pitching pissed off.
Yeah, pitching mean.
You know, he's got just that. I mean, they call him Diesel, and he's just kind of like, you know, Mack truck face. And I'm continuing the Hunter Brown conversation because Hunter Brown is getting
he's going to be the unanimous. Well. How is it not?
So, I mean, you know, 89 pitches, 61 for strikes, you know, 6 Ks, not a walk. This is the Hunter Brown that going into last year, so many of us were hyped up to get was this kind of, you know, JV clone of a guy who's got a wide mix of pitches, can execute, can pick apart the zone or hammer one straight down the middle and blow it by you at 98 miles an hour. And to see his last six, seven, eight games come together the way that they have since adding that two seamer, it's just been amazing. And I can't imagine the confidence that kid is building right now after having such a rough start to the season and finishing last year, you know, questionably, and just not having the year that so many people expected him to have, and then starting this year and really struggling. You know, props to Murphy and Miller for doing whatever work they needed to do with him to figure out this two-seamer that he's got working, and to get into his head and to really pull out the Hunter Brown that I think a lot of us knew was really in there.
You know what Hunter's doing, what Hunter's got given to us. You know, the one thing this staff feels like it needs right now is a horse. You know, JV mm-hmm. hadn't been able to be healthy enough to be a horse. Fromber's too inconsistent to be a horse. Arrighetti's, you know, is just getting his feet wet. You know, Jake Bloss, I mean, if you had three or four innings out of Jake Bloss tomorrow night, you know, consider yourself lucky. And they really feel like they need somebody. And then Blanco's been really, really good. But, you know, but Blanco's never been really, really good until this year. He's done what Brown did, is add a pitch that he can get people out with. He found the changeup. You know, gets people out with the changeup. The thing that's amazing with Brown is he found this two-seamer mid-season. That just doesn't happen.
It does. Yeah. Not like this.
Wild.
Not for it to become your out pitch, too. Like, yeah, your put-out pitch, it doesn't normally happen that way, no.
Take it, Brian.
I think that answers that question of what do y'all think Hunter Brown has done to be so good his last mm-hmm. 6 or 7 outings after a bad first month. And mm-hmm. I think too, along with adding that pitch, I think once you have a couple of good outings, you really start to build that confidence. And I mean, baseball's a physical game, but it's so mental as well. And so, you know, after adding that pitch, I'm sure that kind of brought that confidence level up for Hunter Brown, and he's pitching with it. And, you know, you see him coming out kind of puffing his chest a little bit more than he did in the first maybe month of the season, and for good reason. You know, like Wally said, he's been a horse this year, and it's just been awesome to kind of see that development for him and him really making those changes to become so well-rounded in the middle of a season. Again, like y'all said, that just doesn't happen all the time.
He's been given run support too. Yeah. And in most of the games that he's gone out and pitched really well, the Astros have scored four or five runs, and they've given mm-hmm. him some run support. So that confidence definitely has to be, you know, filling over the top.
And I think it works both ways too, because when the hitters know a guy's going to throw bullets, then the hitters can relax. They don't feel like they have to scrap for that every single run, and they can swing free.
Absolutely. So Presley, 5 consecutive scoreless innings, very good sign for him and our Astros. I agree, Juan. Seeing Presley kind of finally not giving up runs has been very nice. I think for a little while, a lot of us were getting pretty nervous anytime he came out to the mound, like, oh no, we got 8th inning Presley. You know, I think a lot of us were ready to maybe move him to that 7th inning spot instead of having him in that 8th. What are your guys' take on that?
Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah. I mean, if we're giving Coach Rhodes awards away, this was Ryan Presley was my recipient of the Rose. I've said it a couple of times on the pod and in Twitter spaces that we've been having conversations in. For some reason, Ryan Presley's pitch mix has just been all over the place. When you see him go to a pitch mix that starts to really look similar to 22, first part of 23, where he's relying on that fastball and the sinker is his put out pitch, Ryan Presley is effective. And if you go back and you look at his last 3 or 4 really good outings, Ryan Presley's pitch mix is a ton of fastballs and a sinker as a put-out pitch. And so I'm not a pitching coach. I'm just a Twitter baseball guy, right?
Twitter baseball guy.
It's really interesting to start looking at some of those patterns and realize that when people are like, well, Ryan Pressly should be the closer. Well, Ryan Pressly went to his pitch mix that he normally has success with in that ninth inning close that he did, the 2 9th inning closeouts that he did. And when you see him start really picking at the batters, using those fastballs and leveraging the sinker as his put out yep. pitch, Ryan Pressly is effective. And for some reason, late into the second half of last year and early part of this season, he abandoned that fastball. I don't know if quietly he was not feeling it. He was hurt, dealing with a little bit of something that he just didn't feel like he had the velo to put behind the fastball. Who knows? But when Ryan Pressly pulls that pitch mix back out and relies on that fastball, and again, the sinker has his put out pitch, Ryan Presley's effective. So I've loved seeing it. It looks like the Ryan Pressly that most of us are used to. His velo is still a little bit off. There's still a little bit of break that's missing in some of his pitches. But I think that when we go back to the confidence conversation, when you look at Ryan Pressly and his confidence, this is the Ryan Pressly that I think all of us really want to see and not have to go to this whole conversation about, you know, did him getting moved from the closer role mess with his head? Ryan Pressly is a professional. The guy knows what he needs to do. Apparently he's gone back to what he knew has worked, hopefully. And he's been effective, and it's been great to see.
Well, he was asked that last year, you know, why, and basically it came down to the analytics said, throw more spin. You know, that's yeah. great. Until, you know, so if you want to go back and take a look at it, as far as that goes, one thing I want to ask you, Ryan, I had some thoughts about this, is that, what did you think about going Abreu, Pressly, and Hader 2 days in a row with the Orioles coming up?
Yeah, I don't give a spot a whole lot of fuss. I've really been trying to support Joe, but I thought, you know, there's two things about it. I guess, you know, one, the good part of get those guys some consistent work in that 7-8-9 role. Let them feel good. Let them get comfortable against a lineup in which they can have success against. But then probably what you're going to be bringing up is why you have the Orioles coming up. You don't have, you know, do you really need to do this? And so now you're going to have to go back to kind of the mix of the three over the next three games, as opposed to having all three potentially available for all three games. So you can go one way or the other with it.
Bloss is going to throw 8 innings of 2-hit ball, right?
We've seen crazy things.
It surprised me too because Magic Man Seth Martinez didn't pitch the whole series.
Yeah.
They only threw, I'm going to miss a guy here, but there was only five pitchers that threw that. For five bullpen pieces that threw that during the series. And so that means that Martinez didn't pitch. Sean Dubin didn't pitch.
I was going to say, I don't think we saw Dubin. Yep.
He got lit up the last time he was out. And so you kind of understand a little bit of it. Nick Martinez, I think, just got brought up. It was a little close to put Martinez in, but I was surprised that they didn't go with Martinez one in the seventh, either Pressly or, you know, maybe Abreu in the eighth, and then either Pressly or Hader in the ninth. So you've got a bullet left for the weekend. Now he's got a pretty taxed out back end of the bullpen.
Yep.
Juan has some thoughts. I like them pitching because our Astros need to win as many games as possible, and all of them hadn't pitched in 4 to 5 days, which, solid point. Got to get them some work in.
Yeah, but they're going to, but that tomorrow night will be 3 days in a row. So you've got three good guys that are down, most likely.
Yeah, and I'm almost wondering if
Montero only pitched game one. So
he'll be four. He's kind of like the Mother Goose thing about the girl with the curl. When he's good, he's good. When he's bad, he's horrid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Wally, who do you have as your coach, Rose?
Salazar. I mean, you know, he just comes in and says, you know, give me the ball. You know, just said, I'm up. He hit, when he was up last year, he actually hit pretty well that little time he was up early in the season. Mm-hmm. So Yeah, he was it. You know, he said, I'm answering the call. I'm getting two hits. I'm the reason we won the game.
RBI, you know, yep.
Mm-hmm. Just keep on going.
Yeah, I was going with Salazar as well, basically for all the reasons you gave and also for the reasons Ryan gave earlier. You know, having him come in off the bench, you know, not really expecting to play in that game and to come through with some, obviously a really big hit to get the Astros ahead was huge. So Salazar is definitely my pick for the Coach Rose as well. And we have another comment from Juan. Abreu has pitched this season in 48% of the games. Wow.
He threw 70-something, I think 72 games last year, I think is the number that sticks in my head. But he looked good today. Man, he looked really good today.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And they can throw, you know, if they're throwing strikes and throwing 10 to 13 pitches an inning, you can throw more games. When you're throwing 24, 25 pitches and you can't throw strikes, you're walking guys, it comes back to the body punches we were talking.
Yeah.
You might be out for two games after that.
Yep.
Very true. So you guys, Astros are finally moving up in the standings in that second place spot, still 8 games behind the Mariners. Woo! But Mariners, I think, have lost, what, 2 in a row the past couple of days. Yep. So obviously getting a little bit of a boost there from the Mariners. Thank you, Mariners. And I mean, I think me, Chris, and Rob talked about this a little bit last week during Fair or Foul about the Astros taking the division. What are y'all's thoughts on, you know, what do you think the chances are? Do you think we can get there? Do we feel like it's too far ahead? Ryan, what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, it's still within reach. I mean, look, last year on June 24th, the Astros were 6.5 games back, right? Went all the way down to the wire. They played. They went 45-35 in July, August, September, October, right? That's a 562 clip. With the way that the Mariners are projected, the Mariners are projected to be like a 5-2-5 team. And that actually, if the Astros played that way and the Mariners play that way, the Astros could actually win the division by 4 games. I think it's going to be closer than that. Look, the Mariners, they're killing it, but they are 100% riding the coattails of that pitching staff. Mm-hmm. And that pitching staff is good. That pitching staff is young. That pitching staff is not. They've got 3 guys in there that haven't thrown more than 130 innings.
They're not.
They've got 3 guys that are not going to be able to throw 150, 170 innings this season. So at some point, they're going to have to stretch that rotation out even further. They're susceptible to an injury. If one of those big arms go down, they're not deep. They don't have a lot of replacements. Their bullpen is kind of like ours. It's kind of patched together with guys that will throw really well. One night and the next night kind of maybe let you down. They've also got an offense that's the 5th worst in baseball. And so unless their offense really figures out how to come in and really supplement, I just cannot see how the Mariners sustain their current clip. I just can't. So if the Astros can figure out some sort of consistency, I mean, they've won 5 of their last 6 series. So, you know, there's been some tough losses here over the last few weeks, but the Astros aren't playing bad baseball. They're playing bad games, but they're not playing bad baseball. And so I still think that this division is within reach. I may be one of the few that still think it is. If you've got some guys that come back healthy off the IL and can contribute and stretch our pitching out a little bit later into the season, I think the Astros still have a chance. I really do.
I think it's certainly something that can happen. We talk about it every pod. Making up a game a week is the goal. Mm-hmm. You figure mm-hmm. if you can make up a game a week, that's legitimate. Try to think you're going to make up any more than a game a week until you get to the last 2 or 3 weeks when some team can just either get Africa hot or just get super, super, or get super, super cold. You know, I mean, there's times like in the Phillies in 64 had a 5 game lead with like 8 games to go and they blew it. They had 2 pitchers they threw, but you know, in a short period, it can happen, but over time, making up a game a week, Ryan, you're at, what you said, I think, is absolutely right. The only thing I would add to that is Jerry DePoto is a dealer. They're going to go out and try to find a bat.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe even another arm to stretch out because they know that they've got those young guys that can't.
Yeah. I think you're right. Go now, and what the Mariners have that the Astros don't have is minor league, they have the minor league capital to trade that we don't.
Yep.
You know, we don't.
Yeah. Clarence. Yes.
Clarence.
Lately.
Oh, I love it. Yes. Isn't Africa hot and Texas hot basically the same thing?
Clarence, I'll tell you, I'm going to Vegas next week to play golf and it's supposed to be 110 degrees.
Oh, nope.
Whoa.
It's going to be a big nope for me. Brian says, I think if we can at least hover around 500 by All-Star break, along with getting a little help, we have a chance to make a push for the West. I still think it's very much in reach. We still have 6 games against the Mariners this season on top of that. So, I mean, you got to win those games. Yep. When we play them for those 6, we got to do some damage. We got to make it happen. You know, it's one of those big, 4 out of 6, we got to do it. And just hope that, you know, the Mariners' arms tire themselves out.
Comment section is just on fire.
It's just popping today. I love this. 123 people in the live. Very impressive. 126 now. We love to see it. Thank you guys so much for being here, for chatting. Yeah, y'all are making this even more fun than normal. It's always more fun when you got people saying stuff. Clarence is a clown. I love him so much. Clarence ain't lying.
Johnny.
Oh man. So you guys, next up, big series against the Orioles. Obviously a really incredible team here at home for the Friday through Sunday series. Looking ahead, what are your thoughts on this series against the Orioles?
Survive. Hit it, Wally. Survive. Mm-hmm. Survive.
Survive.
In the games with that, if you go back and look at the game since they shipped Abreu out the first time. You know, they were 14-9 during that point. Mm-hmm. After that, they took a step back, and since Abreu was finally shipped out, they've won 4 of 6. Now, granted, it was the Tigers, and it's the White Sox, but they're two major league teams who are trying to win.
Mm-hmm. We got their best pitchers too. We sure did. It wasn't like we were getting the end of their rotation.
Yeah,
beating Tarek Skubal was no joke. I mean, and the thing that was cool when they beat Skubal, and we were at that game, it was like lightning. He had 4 runs just like that, mm-hmm. and he didn't know what hit him. And beating Crochet, I mean, the White Sox are terrible. I mean, they're as bad a team as I've seen in a long time. And
tough watch.
And their Oakland days of a couple of years ago bad.
Yeah.
But you know, Garrett Crochet is a good pitcher and they beat him. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got Johnny Bullpen going behind Bloss tomorrow night. You know, they're not gonna let that thing get too far away from him. But then again, I don't think if it gets away from him, they're just gonna have to tell some guys, you got to eat these innings. Now they got Corbin. They got Grayson Burns, and they got Corbin Burns and Grayson Rodriguez are the other 2 this weekend. So we get their arms. We're gonna find out where we are.
Yeah, they had a very dominant game today against the Yankees, 17-5. So I'm just hoping that their bats are just too tired to do anything tomorrow is my hope. They are just ready for naps. They decide that they just don't want to work. You know, that's my preference for tomorrow's game, at least. But like you said, you got to survive.
Yeah, you know, Bloss coming up will be a really interesting thing to see. You know, sometimes teams have a really hard time with a pitcher that they don't have a lot of. Mm-hmm. A lot of books on. And so, you know, he could come up here and he could trick him. His fastball is electric, and he's got some good breaking stuff. And so I think that if he can get through the first inning, like get through the first inning, get through the first 3 batters.
and then
excel, right? Yeah.
Then excel. Exactly.
I think that, the key to this series for me, though, is the Astros, the lineup is going to have to give the pitchers run support. We're going to have to score 4.5, 5 runs every one of these games in order to be in the game. The Orioles lineup is just that good. And I am thankful that Blanco, and hopefully we get good Fromber. Fromber at home has actually been pretty good. So if we can get some run support out of the lineup with Yordan being back, I guess Tucker's still questionable, but who knows? And we can just score some runs. Just do, like we said, pass the baton, just, and play some small ball if you have to, man. Dang. Like, there were some couple of plays that just lay down a bunt and get the next guy over. Spada talked about it. So if it's something that they're going to start rolling into the philosophy here, and eventually they're going to kind of start playing a little bit of small ball when needed. I mean, Yiner Diaz stealing a base today. Like, what?
Stole it off of Maldi.
On Maldi. I know. Was that
like, well,
that
and we need some guys
right there. That was,
we need some guys poetic. Who are working counts. Yeah. Pena's completely lost right now. And he needs to get back to April Pena.
Yeah. 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 Just, you know, Joe's going to have to work this lineup just right. And hopefully they're studying up, and, you know, I think matchups are a big thing, and they may end up being a big thing here. We may see Salazar, you know, get some playing time. If Yiner's needing to, you know, to hit in the DH spot, and, I don't know. We'll see. I'm really anxious to see kind of how this lineup really rolls out in this series with Tucker still being a question mark.
Yeah, I mean, this is a lineup that was put together by Mike Elias, who obviously was under Jeff Luhnow when he was here. And I mean, that right there tells you kind of everything you need to know. Brian says, I'm very nervous for this series against the O's, especially after what they did today to Luis Gil. That's what I'm saying, Brian, is hopefully their bats are too tired to have any runs left is my my hope for tomorrow.
Probably something.
Clarence,
why are you like this? I have so many questions, but it's mostly,
you're going to have to watch the video to see this comment.
I'm not saying it. I'm not saying it.
You know, listening to the audio version of this podcast,
to get back on task. The one that really hurt when the ass when Elias left, he took Sig with him.
Oh, 100%, man. Yep. Sig was God. Yep. One of the most brilliant minds I have ever had a conversation with. That man was he was amazing. But yeah, I was so sad when Sig left with him. I was like, no, please let us keep him. But yeah, so all right, you guys, we are almost at the hour mark. So let's do some final thoughts. Wally, we will let you go first.
Final thoughts is the Astros did what they were supposed to do these last two series. You know, you're supposed to go into these series and you're supposed to win series against teams you're supposed to win series against. You know, they won those two series. Tigers could have gone either way. Even the White Sox could have gone either way. They found ways to win 2 out of 3. They have got to find a way to win 2 out of 3 against the Orioles. We're talking about making up ground. You make up ground when you win series. If you lose your series, you got to win the next one just to stay even. So that's the goal, is to win series.
Ryan, final thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I think that seeing the bats start to warm up and some guys like Cesar Salazar come in and contribute is going to be huge to, you know, the next couple of series for this team. You know, the difficulty of their schedule coming up is not hard outside of this Orioles series. So I feel like over these next couple of weeks, they can really start to get on a roll and catch some momentum going forward into July. So we got to get it going. Show up to Minute Maid Park this weekend, people, by the way, and be loud.
Please. That's right. Please, I'll be there.
I'll be there on Saturday.
I'll be there all 3 days with my parents on Saturday, because they both decided they want that Kyle Tucker bobblehead, even though they're already getting it because I got them the package that gets all the different giveaways. But they were like, we want them now.
Clarence, you're right. He was early in the season. He was recognizing the outside slider. Now he's not recognizing it.
Yep.
Yep. He's letting it eat him again.
Absolutely. My final thoughts. While I'm slightly nervous about the series against the Orioles, I definitely think we have a team that can really do well against just about anybody. I think, again, the consistency of making sure you get the bat in the next guy's hand and that we're getting on base, we're getting those walks. They really got to start working those pitch counts a little bit more, tire some guys out. But I'm excited to see what we can do against this Orioles team. Hopefully we can make something happen here and get something there. Clarence asked, will the AC in Minute Maid Park and be loud? I'm assuming you mean, is it going to be loud? Hopefully there's a lot of AC tomorrow. And Brian said he will also be there tomorrow. So we look forward to seeing you at the ballpark, Brian. Well, anyway, you guys, that is it for this episode of the Astros Baseball Podcast. We thank you so much for tuning in, for hanging out. From myself, Wally, and Ryan, thank you again, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Thanks, everybody. Go Astros.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.